Welcome to Heralding the Truth, radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sidney, Ohio. Here at Russell Road, our vision is to build a people who are establishing God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is today's message.
Let's go to our scripture in Hebrews. There we go. For everyone partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. All right. And look, that word exercise means disciplined. Disciple. That's where the word disciple comes from. Disciplined. It takes discipline to put principles in place. It takes discipline to help to govern your life in God's will and His ways. Because we just want to wig out and go do what we want to do. Remember, eat Krispy Kremes and sit on the couch, right? Drink chocolate milk. Oh, God wants us to do more, right? I like Krispy Kremes and I like chocolate milk, but not all the time, right? The idea is God wants you and I to grow and mature. And that's where sometimes the struggle is in that growth and maturing. It just takes time and patience. And we need to be aware of that. And when we're aware of that, we don't want to run. We want to start working on what God is doing in our lives. Now, remember last week we talked about righteousness and the importance of that and how it always produces peace. Where there's righteousness, there's always peace. David said in Psalms 23, he says, "He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." When you are on a path in righteousness, you give glory and honor to Jesus. You see that? You glorify Him when you're on that path of righteousness. And you can walk on that path. And you can know when you're on that path. Now, here's the idea. In Matthew 6, 33, he says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And what? All these things will be added to you." Now, just before he said that, he said, "Don't worry. Don't worry." He says, "Don't worry about what you wear. Don't worry about what you eat. Even the birds are taken care of. God takes care of them." He says, "The Gentiles do this." The Gentiles worry about what they eat, and they worry about what... You see that? And the word Gentile means somebody who's outside of the covenant. In other words, they weren't even in the covenant of God. In other words, he was saying, this is the way the world does. They worry about what they're going to eat. They worry about how things... He said, when you're in the kingdom, you don't have to worry. Because God is going to take care of you. Are you listening to me? It's a whole other system. A whole other belief system. Are we making sense? That's why he says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things will be added to you." Everything you need. Even in the middle of everything that's going on in our world today, God is going to provide for you. And that's the truth. He will make sure you have what you need. Above and beyond. More than enough. Now, let's look at this. The word, he says, having their senses. The word senses literally speaks of and it encompasses your feelings and your emotions. So our feelings and our emotions is where we really get tripped up sometimes. You know, something triggers those things and we just wig out. You know, I talked to somebody called and said they slipped back and started drinking again and doing these things and getting involved in all the things they used to. They'd been out for a long time, over a couple years, and now they're back into it. Well, it's because they've yet to discover the idea. It's because they're in and out. You can be in and out of church. You have to get in church. Find you somebody and stay in that word, and it's gonna help you. And when your emotions and your feelings tell you to run or tell you to go get you a drink or go get you a joint or whatever you want to call it, I know what it is. I used to do it in high school. I don't mean anybody in high school do that. That means I used to do that in high school. So I know all about that. So I'm trying to show you, you don't need that. You know what? When you understand who you are, you don't want to contaminate your thoughts and your head with something that's going to make you delirious. You want to stay free and happy and joy and peace. Amen? That's really what you want, and that's what you'll do. You won't let that stuff be a part of your life anymore. So, any single mothers here this day? There's single mothers. There's some of you guys that are single. You know, you're going through things. Some of you are married. You're going through things financially, relationally, you know, maybe personally. And you know, you've really been feeling some mental struggles this week. Anybody? We go through things, right? So I'm gonna use Paul as an example because he's a very good example. And I really want us to see this, and then we're gonna talk about righteousness again. And I really want us to understand this idea of righteousness. And Jesus is our righteousness. And when we understand that, it's going to produce peace in your life. Always. When you do it His way, the manifestation is peace in that area of your life. So, go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. And we're going to look at this. Now, here's the thing. I'll give you a little groundwork on what we're talking about. Paul had already written, in the presence of the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians, and that letter. And now he went to Asia, and he got out there, and there was all kinds of persecution and all kinds of pressure and tribulations applied in his life. And he wanted to give up and quit, but he didn't. But here's the thing. Paul is being very vulnerable and very transparent with the Corinthian church. Now pay attention. When you as a parent are vulnerable and transparent with your kids, your children, it shows them that they are more important than your pride or your ego. You catching that? And that's what Paul was doing. He was showing them, the Corinthian church, that they are more important than his own pride and his own ego. He's the leader. They're all looking to him. And he knows, I can't do this on my own. I need to let them know, you're going to go through things like I'm going through things. But we can do this. And we're going to do this. And we will be delivered. Now, this is the idea. And so, I really want you to pay attention. So, let's read this. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren. So he's talking to the church. Remember, brethren represents the Greek word, which means of the same womb. So no, they've been born again of the word of God, and so we're all from the same womb spiritually. That's what that's talking about. So he is talking to the church. Now look what he says. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble, which came to us in Asia. But we were burdened beyond measure, above strength. Now that word above means hooper bowl. That's the Greek word. H-U-P-E-R-B-O-L-E, hooper bowl. That means this was a challenge, a struggle that he was facing that he hadn't faced yet. Now look, above strength, so that we, despaired even of life. The word despaired means loss of hope. I had no hope of life. This is Paul, the leader. You paying attention? Now look, give me the next one. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves. Did you catch that? He knew he couldn't handle this. If I have to handle this, I'm done. And the word sentence there means the verdict is out. It's over. You're not going to make it. That's what he was thinking. So this was a mental battle. Now think about this. That we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. Now look at this. Now give me the next one. Who delivered us from so great a death? We've been delivered from death forever. See, that word delivered means rescued. Rescued. To set free. He set us free from death. He rescued us from death. Death means separation. So now look. Who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us. You see that? That's what he was saying. He's rescuing us. But if it was up to me, and if I had to handle it myself, I would have never made it. There was a death sentence on my life. Now, you ever feel like you're not going to make it? Sometimes you feel that way. When you come to a place like this, you'll walk out of here with a skip in your step. Some of you feel better already. You came in here heavy. You're feeling better already because the word of God is going over you. You see that? And it's calling you to a healthier place in your life. Now pay attention. Now watch. This trouble is the word thlipsis. It's a picture of hardship. Hardship and endurance. So in other words, Paul was facing a hardship that he had never faced before. And here's the bottom line. Everyone that went with him to Asia, when the pressure was applied, he looked around and nobody was with him. They all forsook him. They abandoned him. Paul was alone. You ever feel like you're alone? When you feel that way, you know what? You need to get on the phone and call somebody. You need to connect with somebody. You need to get in your group. You need to find that mentor, that coach, that teacher, somebody who can help you, and they will help you immediately. I'll tell you what, I've got calls this week. I'm glad they called. And you know what? I'm not going to sit there and rail over them because they messed up. I'm going to help them. And see, that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to help them. You see that? I'm going to go to jail and visit people. I like to go in there and they don't even know that I know they're in there. And I just show up and boy, they get all upset at first and then they get happy. You know, I go in and people between that little wall, they'll be all down and I leave. They're smiling because I put something on them with this word. Are you listening to me? People went to prison for things. Going to prison don't mean it's the end. That could be the beginning of your best life. And so Paul was in this position. He's being vulnerable. He's trying to show his people, I care about you. If we will do this God's way, we'll be delivered. And we'll get right to the place. He wants you and your family to be full and happy. He wants your marriage to be happy. He wants your children to be happy in the middle of all that's going on around you. Are you listening to me? And together we can do that. We can't do it on our own. We need each other. Isn't this good news? See, this is the way we live. Don't let anything keep you from it. Know that this is where I go to learn how to live the better life God intended for my life. See, the Bible says we've all sinned and we all fall short. It's our sin that causes us to fall short of what he originated and intended. And this is where we learn how to live above sin and rise above it. Amen? All right, now listen. We go back to the first verse there, Marriott. So now he says, for we do not want you to be ignorant. You see, God doesn't want us to be ignorant. He wants you to understand. Ignorance is a form of darkness. Ignorance and darkness are synonymous. When you're ignorant of something, it doesn't mean you can't learn. It just means you're ignoring something. That's what the first word, ignorant. Ignorant. You're ignoring it. So we don't want to ignore it. We want to understand. And so we want to be able to get to the light and the word and bring some light up in there. Amen? Okay, so now look. Our trouble, philipsis, is hardship, a burden, and a mental anguish and suffering. Now look, he says, above strength. Now, that we were burdened beyond measure. How many of you know you're facing something? I've just never faced this before. That's where I am. I'm seeing things. I'm tasting things. My emotions are like, ugh. You know? Does that make sense? You know, but here it is. My emotions, when you grow and mature, you know, I went to a graduation party the other night. And, you know, there was a lot of people there. Lots of people, a couple hundred. They had a band and they had, not a band, but a DJ, yeah. And they were playing music. And I was talking to people and just really enjoying my time there. I mean, I loved it. I love people. So I'm just talking to people. And then this girl comes up to me and she says, "Hey, Mr. Gillenwater." And I thought, "Wow, I don't even know who you are." She says, "I used to play basketball with Angie in high school." I said, "How do you know me?" Man, I was all baby-faced and young and, you know. Now, that's 30-something, 40 years ago. Are you listening to me? And she says, "Well, my mom saw you and told me that that was who you were." And she says, "And I remembered you because you used to come to Angie's games." But you see, if you keep hang in there, that reminded me right there that I haven't given up, that I'm enjoying life. And then we stayed there for a couple hours. I thought, well, we'll go for an hour or so and we'll cut out. And we stayed there for a couple hours. Music was bumping. We were leaving. And a song by Dan and Shay came on. Yeah, I don't, that's a country singer. I don't know who it is, but I've heard it before and it's a love song. And gosh, it started making me think of Donita. So I had Donita, you know, and she was in front of me and I was watching that little walk, you know. That's what husbands do. They keep their eyes on their wife. Amen. And so then I grabbed her and I spun her around. We started dancing right out in front of everybody. I wouldn't have done that for $1 million years ago. But we're sitting there dancing and we're enjoying it. And I'm just like, then I kissed her and leaned her back. That's because you know what? What I'm telling you is true. You start putting these principles in place. He does make paradise. Wherever you go, it don't matter what's around you. Are you with me? Am I making sense? But that takes time. And that takes people. That takes people speaking into your life and helping you along this journey. You see this? You just don't get there because you're you. It takes time. Making sense? And I'm not saying I've arrived. I haven't, but I am. I'm going to tell you something. I'm enjoying life. I haven't arrived. I've got a lot of work to do on me. You can just ask Donita. She probably won't tell you, but I know I got work to do. Plenty of it. Everybody all right? So, look at this. I'm telling you, there's going to be times you're going to go through things, and you do feel like you're not going to make it. That's why I'm trying to tell you up front sometimes. You're going to face things. And it's going to be difficult. But you get around the right people and you stay in the church, you're going to stand. Remember, that's what he said in 2 Timothy 3:1. He said, "Perilous times are coming. They shall come." And the word "shall come" means to stand. To stand in the perilous times. Perilous means dangerous and violent. He says, dangerous and violent times, you're going to stand. That means the word "stand" means prevail. You're going to stand in the middle of the dangerous. He says, "I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves." Sheep are ravenous, hostile, bloodthirsty. Are you listening to me? And that's his description of what I'm sending you. They have no means of defense, but he'll be your defender. He's your shepherd. He's the good shepherd, and he will protect you. When you do things his way, he's going to protect you and protect you from hostility, negativity and all that poison, you can walk in victory following Jesus. Am I making sense? Now watch this. Paul was in a place where normal human strength would never have been sufficient for his situation. This predicament required strength beyond measure he had never previously needed. He was in despair. This word despair is the word EXAPOREOMAI. It's where we get the word exasperated. And it was used to describe a situation with no way out. So that's what despair means, no hope. Paul was thinking he had no hope. See that? Had no way out. But then Paul remembered who he was trusting in. Listen, that's why he says in 1 Timothy 10:13, there's no temptation. He was being tempted to quit, tempted to give up. There's no temptation such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will make a way of escape. See, that's what despair says. There's no escape. God will always make a way of escape. And the word temptation means trial or test. You are going to be tried and tested every day. You can overcome no matter what. That's why you're called overcomers. You see, that's when we get in the church, we're going to overcome. Overcome what? Overcome all this trouble, all these things that are out there. Are you with me? Yeah. You're called an overcomer. Yeah. And the word overcomer is where you get the word Nike. Look what he says. It described individuals who were caught and pinned down, trapped, utterly hopeless, as though there was no way out. Now, and then he says in verse 9, we had the sentence of death in ourselves. In other words, they were trying to do it themselves. That was a death sentence. In other words, when you try to do it yourself, it's like a death sentence. The word sentence there means the verdict is out. That's what it means. The verdict is out. In other words, he says it was death. The verdict was death in himself. But it changed when he started to see he had to trust in God. Now look, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God. You see that? When they changed their trust in God, everything changed. You see this? Everything changed. The final verdict was in, and we were not going to survive. Their souls were under siege and attack like never before. Paul was describing mental anguish and agony he had never faced before. And some of you may be going through something similar to that. But I want you to pay attention. We're going to look at Romans chapter 10. Give me Romans chapter 10, verse 1. And we talked about righteousness last week. And I want to help people understand righteousness, because it prevents you from going to a place of despair, a place of despondency. It actually will aid in your walk with God and keep you moving forward in the faith. Now look. Now Israel, I'll give you a little backdrop. Israel was not, they weren't being saved. They were not being saved. They weren't saved, and they were acting like they were. You see that? Some people like to act like they're saved, but they're not. It's making sense? Okay, now, look what he says in Romans 10. Brethren, he's talking to the church, you know, from the same womb. My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. See, Paul wanted them to be saved. Now look, for I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. You see, how many of you know zeal needs to be based in knowledge? Let's look at this. Verse 3. For they being ignorant, they were ignorant because they weren't, their zeal wasn't in God's knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness have not submitted to the righteousness of God. You see that? Remember Hebrews? They stay babes because they don't submit to the word of righteousness. The word of righteousness is God's word. It's the word of righteousness. And when you won't submit to the word, you don't understand. You see that? And so you stay ignorant. And the idea is we have to be willing to submit to the word of righteousness. God is always going to give you a word in a place he's trying to help you better your life with. Always. Now, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Now, Mariette, go back to the second verse. For I bear witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. The word knowledge is the word is knowledge of God. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for their lack of knowledge. And then he says, because you have rejected my knowledge, I will reject you as being priests for me. So in order to be who you are and who God created, you need knowledge. We need to grow in the knowledge of God. Paul prayed in Colossians 1:9, I pray that you would be filled with the knowledge of his will, full of the knowledge of his will. And in 1 Timothy said, God desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. God wants us to understand his knowledge. Am I making sense? And that's why we come to church. That's why we grow. That's why we start to see things change. We're growing in knowledge, and our zeal will not be empty. It will have his knowledge behind it. Now watch this. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. Now, so Paul says the Jews were sincere. People will say, it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you are sincere. You ever heard that? Boy, that's about not true, isn't it? Yeah, you can be sincerely wrong. You can be wrong as, you know, and be sincere about it, right? Paul is saying the reason for Israel's going astray is that their zeal wasn't enough, that their zeal must be based in knowledge. The truth is that their zeal was without knowledge or understanding. And the truth, zeal without knowledge and understanding, listen to me, it's called fanaticism. And it can even be terrorism. Terrorism. You see that? You can be all excited about something and sincere about it and really end up being in terrorism, destroying people's lives. Are we making sense? That's what some of these groups do. They get up and they start off with the right idea and they get way out. They get zealous and zeal, full of zeal, and they don't know what they're zealous about. They end up destroying things. Now look, paying attention. Imagine a lady who loves her neighbor. This lady loves her neighbor and sincerely brings her a big bouquet of flowers, not realizing that her neighbor is desperately allergic to the flowers. That is zeal without knowledge, and it could be fatal in her life. You see that? That's the way it is. Zeal without knowledge can really bring problems in people's lives. Imagine a person who intensely believes that a poison solution is not fatal. When you read it on the label, it says it. They go ahead and drink it. They drink it, they end up being dead. Their zeal not only did not help them, but it helped them die. Making sense? You can be zealous about something, but it can be fatal and it can really bring problems in your life. Israel stayed ignorant, not because the information wasn't available, but because it suited them and they were satisfied where they were. You hear me? They wanted to stay ignorant. I don't want to learn. I'm going to just ignore this. Fanatics are people who have zeal and sincerity. And a lot of times they will give their lives for the cause. But it is a zeal without reflection or discernment.
You've been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio. Our service time is Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church, Sydney. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul taken from 2 Corinthians 13:11. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Have a blessed week.